Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on the role of patents for ESG metrics comes from Andreas Zagos.
So in 2021, the massive software giant Autodesk, they were ranked the 43rd most sustainable company in the world.
Which, I mean, is a pretty solid ranking.
Right, 43rd is totally respectable. But then, just 12 months later, in 2022, they were suddenly ranked number 3.
Third in the entire world.
Yeah. A multinational corporation with thousands of employees does not radically change its global infrastructure, its entire supply chain, and its corporate governance in 12 short months.
No, of course not. That kind of structural change takes decades.
Exactly. So how does a company jump 40 spots that fast?
Well, because the multi-trillion dollar industry grading corporate sustainability is fundamentally broken.
Yeah, it relies on a system that basically lets companies grade their own homework. So welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are hunting for a corporate lie detector.
It really is a modern mystery. We live in an era where ESG, so environmental, social, and governance metrics, they dictate where trillions of investment dollars go.
Trillions. It's massive.
But the tools we use to measure those imperatives are just full of massive blind spots. They are easily manipulated and honestly inherently backward-looking.
Which impacts you directly. Whether you are an investor looking to put your money in the right place or, you know, an employee deciding where to dedicate your career.
Or just someone buying groceries.
Right. You are constantly bombarded with claims about sustainable and ethical companies. They all have those little green leaves and badges on their websites. But how do you actually know who is telling the truth?
It's incredibly hard to tell.
Today's mission is to decode this complex world of corporate sustainability. And we are doing it by diving into a truly fascinating lecture by Andreas Zagos.
Yes.
He is a management partner at Intracom, and he delivered this lecture as part of a university diploma course on IP business administration.
And what makes Zagos' lecture so compelling isn't just his breakdown of the current broken system. He proposes a highly specific, totally counterintuitive solution.
That's brilliant.
He argues that if we want to know a company's true colors, we shouldn't be looking at their PR reports. We should be looking at their patents.
Their patents.
Yeah. Our goal today is to uncover exactly how the current ESG metrics fall short and how examining a company's raw innovations might completely change the game.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get to the patent solution, we have to understand the crime scene, so to speak. We have to understand the current landscape.
Right, the baseline.
Zago spent some time in the lecture laying out the sheer scale of the ESG industry. For anyone who follows business, you probably know the broad strokes.
Sure.
The E is environmental climate change, energy efficiency, waste. The S is social diversity, labor practices, data privacy. And the G is governance board composition, executive pay, and transparency.
That's the standard breakdown.
But if that is what is being measured, who is actually holding the clipboard? Because it's not just one global department of sustainability.
Not at all. It is a massive, highly fragmented industry. Think of it as a crowded field of referees all running around on the exact same pitch trying to officiate the same game.
But with different rules.
Exactly. Every single referee is using a slightly different rule book. Zagos categorizes these referees into three distinct groups.
Let's go through them.
The first group consists of the rating agencies. These are the heavy hitters who are basically adapting traditional financial risk models to measure sustainability. So you have Sustainalytics, which is part of Morningstar.
Oh, right. Morningstar.
Yeah. And you've got Moody's leveraging their Vigeo Eiris arm. S&P Global is in there, integrating environmental and social risks directly into credit ratings.
So it affects their actual credit.
Precisely. And Fitch Ratings does the same, focusing on how ESG factors might actually trigger a credit default down the line.
Okay, so that's the finance crowd trying to quantify ethics. Then Zagos points to the second group, which he calls the commercial companies.
The data brokers.
Right, the data brokers. They specialize in collecting massive oceans of information to sell actionable insights. You've got MSCI, which is renowned for just how extensive its data coverage is.
Huge coverage.
There's ISS, specifically their OCOM research division, selling corporate governance insights to shareholders. Bloomberg is a major player, too.
Oh, yeah, pushing real-time ESG data onto their terminals right alongside traditional stock tickers.
Exactly. And Refinitiv, which used to be Thomson Reuters, combining ESG data with hardcore financial analytics.
Which brings us to the third group, the nonprofit organizations.
Right.
If the commercial companies are selling the data, the nonprofits are trying to build the framework so everyone is speaking the same language.
Trying being the operative word.
Exactly. You have the Global Reporting Initiative, or GRI, which develops widely used reporting structures across various industries.
Okay.
The Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, SASB. They try to establish industry-specific standards for what information is actually financially material.
Materiality is huge for them.
Right. Then there is the Carbon Disclosure Project, CDP, zooming in specifically on climate-related data. And finally, the World Economic Forum, the WEF, which promotes global collaboration. And
wait, they're the ones who actually issue those Corporate Knights rankings we mentioned earlier, right, with Autodesk?
Yes, exactly. The WEF issues those.
Man, hearing all those acronyms back-to-back, Morningstar, MSCI, SSB, SHAFood, it just paints a picture of total chaos.
It really does.
If we have all these heavy hitter organizations watching these companies, how exactly are they getting their information? Are they like sending inspectors into factories with clipboards?
Rarely, very rarely. Zagaz explains that data collection is primarily split into two categories. You've got primary and alternative data sources.
Okay, primary first.
Primary sources are traditional documents. So this means voluntary sustainability reports published by the company's own marketing team.
Red flag number one.
Right. It also includes mandatory regulatory filings, and it involves NGO reports or government databases logging labor safety statistics or environmental fines.
Okay, so standard paperwork. But the alternative data is where they try to get clever.
Yeah, they really do.
The lecture mentions they are using natural language processing, or NLP, to analyze social media.
It's wild. They are deploying algorithms to read thousands of social media posts a second.
So if the algorithm sees the word strike or lawsuit next to a company's name on a social feed, what happens?
It automatically dings their social score.
Wow.
Yeah, it's automated sentiment analysis. Plus, they use custom surveys conducted by the rating agencies themselves.
And all of that data, whether it's from a PR report or a Twitter scraping algorithm, is fed into KPIs, key performance indicators.
Yes.
What's fascinating here is how granular these KPIs attempt to be, even if the data feeding them is, well, questionable.
Highly questionable.
Under the environmental umbrella, they are tracking energy use measured in exact gigajoules. They calculate the precise proportion of energy derived from renewable sources.
Right. Wind, solar.
But the most critical KPIs revolve around greenhouse gas emissions, which are broken down into scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3.
And we hear those terms a lot, but let's define the mechanisms because the distinction is where the system really starts to crack.
Okay, lay it out for us.
Scope 1 is direct. That quantifies the emissions from a company's own operations. If a company owns a fleet of delivery trucks, the exhaust coming out of those tailpipes is scope 1.
Simple enough. You own the truck, you own the emissions.
Right. Scope 2 is indirect, but still close to home. It measures the emissions from the energy they purchase. So the coal plant generating the electricity to keep their headquarters lights on.
Okay. Also trackable. But scope 3.
Yeah.
Man, scope 3 is the Wild West.
It completely is. Scope 3 quantifies the emissions from the entire broader supply chain.
Everything.
Everything. It covers everything from the extraction of raw materials by a third-party vendor in another country, all the way to the end use of the product by the consumer.
Tracking scope 3 is like trying to calculate the carbon footprint of the delivery driver who brought the flour to the bakery that made the bun for your fast food burger.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible to verify objectively.
Exactly. Moving over to the social KPIs, it's all about the workforce and society. They measure representation across genders and ethnicities.
Right.
They track lost time injury rates to gauge warehouse safety. They look at employee turnover, which honestly is a great indicator of whether people actually want to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And they assess paid sick leave policies.
And for governance KPIs, the focus turns to the boardroom.
The suits.
Right, the suits. They examine board diversity, specifically gender and racial representation at the executive level. They dissect executive compensation structures to see if a CEO's massive bonus is actually tied to long-term performance or just, you know, short-term stock bumps.
Which happens a lot.
Far too often.
Yeah.
They also measure shareholder engagement and they evaluate internal anti-corruption measures.
Hey, are you an IP expert with a focused topic you want to share?
Then you might be just the right fit to become an IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. It's a great opportunity to build visibility for your expertise and reach new clients through a trusted academic platform. You'll be supported in creating digital content, LinkedIn strategies, and outreach to your target group. If you're ready to raise your profile and position yourself as a thought leader, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. End of advertisement.
Okay, so we have dozens of agencies, hundreds of KPIs, and algorithms scanning the internet. But here is the fatal flaw. Zaikos highlights the reason the whole system is fundamentally compromised.
The self-grading.
Yes. Despite all of this sophisticated tracking, the vast majority of these metrics rely entirely on self-assessed information.
It all comes from the source.
The companies are providing the primary data. No matter how fancy your NLP sentiment algorithm is, if your core baseline data is just what the corporation chooses to disclose in their annual glossy sustainability report, you have a structural problem.
You really do.
It is grading your own homework.
This raises an important question. If the inputs are self-reported, how volatile are the outputs?
Exactly.
That brings us right back to the Autodesk anomaly you mentioned at the start.
Right, jumping from 43rd to 3rd.
When the Corporate Knights ranking moved Autodesk up 40 spots, it wasn't because Autodesk invented a revolutionary new carbon capture technology overnight.
Obviously not.
It was likely due to slight adjustments in how the rating agency weighted different self-reported disclosures, combined with Autodesk simply getting better at filling out the specific surveys the WEF wanted to see.
They didn't change the company, they just learned how to beat the test.
Precisely. The variability exposes the inconsistency across different providers. But more importantly, it highlights that most existing ESG metrics are completely backward-looking.
Backward-looking, meaning they only look at what's already happened.
Right. They only evaluate a company's current status or the status they claim to have achieved in the past fiscal year. They do not evaluate a company's future trajectory or its actual innovative output.
So the current system is looking in the rearview mirror and relying on the driver to tell us how safely they drove.
That's a great way to put it.
How do we look through the windshield instead? How do we predict where a company is genuinely heading? Here's where it gets really interesting. Andreas Zaikos throws his massive curveball.
The solution.
He argues that the untapped potential, the ultimate corporate lie detector for ESG, is intellectual property rights, or IPR. Specifically, we need to look at their patents.
It is a profound paradigm shift. Currently, IPR data is almost entirely ignored by ESG rating agencies.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
It is. But Zaikos argues that integrating patent data alongside traditional KPIs shifts the entire focus from passive compliance to active, innovation-driven sustainability.
Because patents show intent.
Exactly. Patents show what a company is financially committing to for the next decade.
I love the psychology of this.
Right.
Think about it like looking at someone's credit card statements versus just listening to their New Year's resolution.
Oh, that's perfect.
A company can publish a press release saying they are committed to reducing ocean plastic. That is self-reporting. They might even run ads about it, so the NLP sentiment analysis gives them a boost.
And everyone claps.
Right. But if their patent portfolio shows they just spent $50 million developing and legally protecting a new type of biodegradable packaging, that proves they are actually investing in the change. You don't spend years in R&D and pay massive legal fees to file global patents for a PR stunt. The patents are the receipts.
And Zaikos meticulously maps out how this verification tool works across all three pillars of ESG, starting with the environmental impact.
Okay, let's look at the E.
If a company claims a deep commitment to the planet, that should be undeniable in their patent filings. We should see filings for green technologies.
Like what?
New methods for renewable energy generation, advanced waste reduction processes, or, you know, battery efficiency algorithms. These patents are hard, legal proof of a commitment to environmental innovation.
But Zaikos points out the flip side, which I think is even more valuable for the average investor.
The greenwashing aspect.
Yes. If a company is boasting loudly about being green, running ad campaigns with wind turbines and solar panels, but you look at their IPR and their patent portfolio is completely devoid of sustainable technologies.
Massive red flag.
It's a huge red flag. They're simply greenwashing. They are projecting an environmentally responsible image while continuing business as usual behind the scenes. The patents cut right through the marketing department's spin.
Moving to the social contributions. Now, this is where the connection requires a bit more nuance.
Yeah, I was wondering about this.
At first glance, patents don't seem directly linked to social factors like workforce diversity or paid sick leave. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, patents are incredible indicators of investments in research and development that drive broad societal progress.
Wait, I have to push back on that.
Okay, go ahead.
How does a patent for, like, a new piece of software or a new chemical compound prove a company is fundamentally good to society? That feels like a stretch to me.
It does at first, but Zygos clarifies this by using the pharmaceutical industry as a prime example. Okay. Developing treatments for rare diseases requires massive, sustained, and highly risky R&D investment. The resulting patents from that specific research are direct, quantifiable indicators of a company's contribution to public health.
Oh, I see.
By tracking the types of patents the company files, you can see if they are directing their innovative power towards solving pressing human problems. That is a deeply social contribution that a standard HR questionnaire completely misses.
Okay, that actually makes sense. It measures their outward social utility, not just their internal HR policies. But what about the G?
Governance.
Governance always feels like the most abstract pillar. How do you patent good corporate governance? You can't patent an ethical boardroom.
You're right, you can't. You don't look at what the patent is for in the case of governance. You look at how the company manages that intellectual property.
How they manage it.
Okay. A company's IP management strategy reveals a tremendous amount about its underlying corporate ethics and its decision-making processes.
Give me an example.
Zygos highlights a highly specific point here regarding international taxation and the OECD's BEPS guidelines.
Okay, let's define that really quick, because this part of the lecture is brilliant. BEPS stands for Base Erosion and Profit Shifting.
Exactly.
It's essentially the global standard for preventing tax evasion by massive corporations.
Right. So let's say a company's engineers in California develop a brilliant, highly lucrative new software algorithm. The value was created in the United States.
Using U.S. resources, U.S. educated workers.
Yes. But instead of keeping ownership of that IP in the U.S., the corporation aggressively transfers those patent rights to a shell company they own in a zero-tax jurisdiction.
Like a tax haven.
Exactly. They then charge their U.S. branch massive licensing fees to use their own software.
Oh, wow.
This effectively wipes out their U.S. profits, meaning they avoid paying taxes in the country where the innovation actually happened.
That is the ultimate lie detector. A company could have a perfectly diverse board of directors. They could publish a beautiful corporate transparency report.
They could ace every survey.
They could ace every single self-reported questionnaire from MSCI or Sustainalytics. Mm-hmm. But if their IP management strategy is structurally designed to dodge taxes and shift profits to offshore shell companies, their governance is fundamentally unethical.
Unethical and totally hidden from traditional ESG.
They're draining resources from the society that educated their workforce. The movement of those patents leaves a glaring paper trail that rating agencies completely ignore right now.
Exactly. By incorporating intellectual property rights into ESG evaluations, we force companies into a state of dual accountability.
Dual accountability. I like that.
You aren't just asking them if they are checking the compliance boxes today. You are verifying if they are actively engineering a better tomorrow and whether they are managing those innovations ethically. It captures their actual legally binding contributions to sustainability.
So what does this all mean for you, the person trying to navigate this landscape? We started by talking about the Autodesk anomaly, how easy it is for a company to game a backward-looking, self-reported system. What Andreas Dagos is suggesting is that we stop reading the marketing brochures and start looking at the actual blueprints.
Refining ESG metrics by embracing new dimensions like IPR is absolutely critical. If we actually want to drive meaningful global change across industries, we have to address the inconsistencies of the current rating agencies.
We can't just rely on sentiment analysis.
No, we can't. Integrating patents ensures that the future of corporate sustainability lies at the exact intersection of innovation and accountability.
The next time you see a company bragging about its number one sustainability rating, or, you know, you see an investment fund touting its high ESG score, don't just take it at face value.
Look deeper.
Wonder what their patent portfolio actually looks like. Are they inventing the solutions of the future, or are they just really, really good at filling out their own report cards?
It is a powerful paradigm shift that rewards actual problem solvers.
Right.
But as with any new metric introduced to the free market, we have to anticipate how corporations will react if patent tracking becomes the new gold standard.
Which brings us to a final thought for you to mull over. If the global market successfully adopts Zagos's brilliant idea and makes patents the ultimate lie detector for ESG ratings, what happens next?
The unintended consequences.
Right. Will companies simply start filing hundreds of patents for useless, unviable green technologies just to artificially inflate their new ESG scores? Could patent greenwashing become the next massive loophole?
It's entirely possible.
If we force them to show us the blueprints, we have to make sure they aren't just drawing pictures of houses they never intend to build. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time, keep questioning the metrics.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.